Lord, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings for this fifth week of Lent that reminds us that we will all rise on the last day in the resurrection of the dead. But in the meantime, you're inviting us daily to discover the first inheritance, the gift of the Holy Spirit, bringing us to little resurrections when we're able to let go and forgive someone, or we just glean a word of wisdom from scripture, or we encounter you in a powerful and profound way in our sacraments, especially at Mass. We experience the joy of the resurrection already. So we pray as we continue our journey of Lent that you would just send forth a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit to encourage us in our resolve to celebrate worthily the Paschal mysteries. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So it's great to be with you this morning, and a long reading, but a very powerful event, the raising of Lazarus. I was away last weekend at the retreat at Fort Worden. It went very well, but the beds there are awful. I felt like I was sleeping on a bowl of Jell-O. They just move around and just have this. No wonder soldiers were grumpy if that's the conditions they had to sleep in every night. But the people were very delightful, and they laughed at most of my jokes. And it was a lot of fun. I did drop my computer and break it. But I woke up this morning and thought, I'm going to try one last thing and see if I can fix it, because I'm honored when it comes to technology. So I have another power adapter, and I plugged it in, and it's working. So thank you, Lord. I was thinking about replacing it, and I thought, well, that helps my discernment. If it's broken, you have to replace it. But I didn't really want to spend the money, so I was very happy. But I was laying in bed all night just thinking about, I wonder if I could fix that and not have to throw it away, you know, or something. So enough about that. We want to talk about the end goal, which is, you know, coming to faith in Christ and experiencing the joy of the resurrection. So just a few thoughts about the readings today. The first reading is beautiful from Ezekiel, that the Lord would put a spirit and have us rise from our graves. And all of us are going to experience the joy of being resurrected and getting a new body. I don't know about you, but some mornings that sounds really good. You kind of are aching and creaking and crawling out of bed or tripping on the staircase, which I just did as I was going over to get something out of the rectory. But we're going to get a new body, and we look forward to that. And Jesus obviously had Martha make her statement of faith that, yes, I believe that we will all rise on the last day. But in the meantime, our Christian way of life isn't just, well, I hope I get into heaven. It's a reminder that every day we have opportunities through the grace of the Holy Spirit to experience more life in abundance. When we forgive somebody of a transgression, we're set free. When we experience God's grace in a powerful way, like coming out today and just watching the sunrise and hearing the birds, we experience the joy of the new life that God wants us to have. So it's not that we're just waiting till the last day to cash in our chips. Amen. Even now, God is offering opportunities for us to experience life more abundantly through the grace of the Holy Spirit and growing in that grace. And so we want to remember that. I think a lot of people are misled to think that, well, I just hope I get into heaven. And they really don't experience the joy of discipleship while they're here on earth, because through poor teaching or maybe just a lack of faith, they don't really understand what it means to be a follower of Christ, the hope to which we're called, as Paul would tell us in Ephesians. The second thing, this always fascinates me, because he loved Lazarus, he remained in the where he was at for 2 days. It's like, wait, if he really loved him, why didn't he go help him and save him from experiencing death? And so that just reminds us that in this world, we live with a very limited understanding of God's permissive will. And sometimes he allows things to happen in our life that are painful and we don't understand. I remember the disappointment I had when I was praying for my aunt every day since I found out she was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Every day I would just wake up and pray for her. And every time I saw her, it was just a joy. And I thought, you know, I hope God heals her. And so the word came that she was miraculously healed. The surgeon fell on his knees in the operating room and said, there's no cancer. It's a miracle. So I'm 15 years old. Like, yes, God is like a vending machine. You just pull the lever and get the product you want. And then a year and a half later, it wasn't true. The cancer came back with a vengeance. And by August, she was dead by November 6th. So I just felt incredibly let down and disappointed. But God was going to use that event to kind of lead me to a serious commitment in my faith. And by the end of that year, I was pretty sure, like 98.9% sure I was going to become a Catholic priest. And I did. It just took a few years of school and learning. So God can bring good out of things that we don't always understand and that seem tragic to us. And so we have to always be pulling back in the power of the Holy Spirit and praying our way into those experiences. And just saying, too, that it's okay to be disappointed. Gee, Lord, we thought, you know, you're going to act in this way or intervene. We all have those moments in our life where we don't understand the mysterious ways that God works, but he's a good God. Amen. He's a good lion. He's not a tame lion. They're my favorite line from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But so often later on, as we go back and reflect on the events of our life, the Holy Spirit unpacks wisdom and understanding that all things work for the good that God has for those who love him. Amen. So we really believe that. But it's mysterious. And I remember even Benedict XVI, when he visited Auschwitz, he just looked up to the heavens and said, "Why? Why did you allow this?" You know, just perplexed by the magnitude of evil that took place in that concentration camp and the whole events of the Nazi era and so forth. And all of us scratch our head and say, "I'm not sure why, but I believe God is working even in those darkest hours of our human history and still offering us grace and understanding and the ability to share in the sufferings of Christ so we don't get bitter." And that's the most dangerous thing, is sometimes when we're let down, we can become very bitter and cynical. And God is saying, if this is really redemptive suffering, then it opens you up to become more compassionate and connected with other people. It has the opposite effect. But the enemy wants to shut us down. Your God's abandoned you. That's why you're having such a hard time in life right now. If God really loved you, you wouldn't have to have another surgery, right? So the devil's just constantly whispering in our ear, and you got to bind him away and say, "Go back where you belong, to hell." Amen? Originally, no, just kidding. I'm going home today for a couple days to visit my mom. And then the last thing, and I just thought about how many people came to believe because of what Jesus accomplished here, the raising of Lazarus. And I've been sitting down over the last couple of weeks with a number of people and trying to remind them that you have a testimony to offer. Each one of us, you know, it may not be as dramatic as St. Paul. I didn't get knocked on my rear end on the road to Damascus and Jesus appeared to me. I mean, most of us don't have those dramatic kind of conversion experiences, but we have a story to tell. And you never know when you step out in faith and share with someone else what it's going to do to them and how it's going to help them come to faith in Christ. So don't let the devil intimidate you and say, "Well, you have nothing to share. You have nothing to offer here." That's not true. We all know the goodness of God. We all know the mercy of God. We know what it's like to have God surprise us when we think everything's finished and done with. Be eager at all times to give an account for the hope inside of you, because so many people don't believe because we don't say anything. We don't talk about the good things that God has done. I was listening to a song yesterday by one of my favorite Christian artists, Cece Winans, called "The Goodness of God." It's a beautiful video. You can go on YouTube and find it. But she's watching a slideshow of her life and her family and her dad who's passed away and her mom. And I think she comes from a family of like 10 or 11. But just smiling and happy, "I know the goodness of God. He's led me through so many things." What a beautiful testimony that song is. But all of us have a testimony to share with people. And I'm just praying that as Catholics, we would be a little more bold about wanting to share the goodness of God with the people around us, because there's a lot of bad news and people are in despair a lot, right? And we have something wonderful to share with them. Do you believe that? I do. I think we have wonderful good news to share with people. So let's just pray for the Holy Spirit to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our scripture readings again and for the hope to which we're called, and that we are known by name. We're not just a random number or product, but we are loved and willed by you and known by name. You call us each by name. So through the grace of your Holy Spirit, help us to stand up against the oppressive forces around us and to push back the kingdom of darkness and to usher in your kingdom of light through loving acts and words of affirmation and kindness and mercy. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.